Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of On a Heater Podcast featuring myself, former professional hockey and basketball game photographer Dashing, and my good friend Kiwi. We are two idiots blundering on about sports. And if you're wondering what this is, I'm currently listening to the Patriots game, so go F yourself. How you doing, Kiwi?
I'm doing just the same, because if you're watching on YouTube, you've noticed that we're wearing the same exact clothes that we had on for Friday's episode. Mm-hmm. And you'd be correct, because we're recording this at the same time. So, I hope you all remembered that we had this extra episode coming on Sunday, and happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday.
But if you didn't, surprise, we're back.
Hello.
So, just as we had a lot to cover on Friday, we have even more for you today, Sunday. And actually, at the time of recording this, we had to emergency insert some news because Dashing, the Dodgers just beat the Miami Marlins 20-4, led by 3 home runs, 2 stolen bases from Shohei Ohtani, putting him at 51 of each. Mm-hmm. And becoming the first ever player to enter the 50-50 club.
I just want to just put out there, this man went 6-for-6 that game. He hit home 4 runs, you know, himself. He 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, .294 batting average, which, you know, boosting his batting average up a little bit there. But he hit a double in the first, singled in the second, hit another double in the third, but when you thought he was done, nope. A homer in the sixth, a homer in the seventh, a homer in the ninth. What the actual hell happened in Miami while we were recording that last episode?
So, honestly, probably one of the biggest collapses of our generation, like, coming out of this Miami team in this game.
Oh, my God.
To give Ohtani the record. Just, wow. Just absolutely insane. I know we covered baseball in Friday's episode, but we saw this and we just had to report on it.
We were so literally...
You guys get a little bonus here, and you don't have to wait the full week for it.
It was so funny, because, like, we were literally talking about them, like, going down the list, like, oh, he might get some homers here, he might get another stolen base here. Doesn't need him anymore, he already did it. He already did it.
You can still take out those DraftKings bets if you want, though.
Because he's going to get more. He's going to get more.
He's not done.
But is 60-60 out of play here? Like, 9 games left?
If they played the Marlins out of place? 9 more times, maybe. Not... With the Rockies coming up, honestly,
the Rockies six games against the Rockies.
Keep your eye on it, folks. Keep your eye on it. It very well may happen. But congrats to him. I mean, amazing freaking batting season in a year he's not even pitching. Dashing. Could you imagine if he was pitching this year too and having those stats?
No, I don't want to think about it.
Are the Dodgers just the best team like ever? At this point right now? Is this a generational team?
I don't know if it's a generational team, but Shohei Ohtani is a generational talent. I'm willing to say that.
Well, when you have, you know, when your 1-2 punches, Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts, like...
Yeah, okay, all right.
And the year that Betts is having, too, might I add.
That's so true.
It makes this shirt hurt more.
It does. I haven't put on a Red Sox shirt since they traded Mookie.
I still wear mine because I still care about him. But
well, I have like, you know, other Red Sox.
Dashing cares about him too, but
yeah, I have other Red Sox memorabilia around my house. But like, man, yeah. It hurts every time I look at it. I remember, but I just like, you know, I saw it out of the corner of my eye when I was opening notes up and all that kind of stuff, and I saw Ohtani like, yeah, like celebrating, and I was like, oh, is this about the stolen bases? And then I saw 3 home runs, and I was like, huh? And I was like, Kiwi? They beat him 20-4. And you were like, with a 0?
Yeah, I said 2-0. 2-0. Yeah, it's just crazy. I haven't seen a 20-run team game in a while.
No.
In a while.
Yeah.
It's actually surprising with how bad the White Sox are this year that there hasn't been more. But
exactly.
beside the point. But yeah, so we wanted to just drop that in real quick as an emergency little note there, so you guys didn't have to wait around till next week to get our reactions. I mean, this is basically candid reactions
insane.
Right now. So moving into the Sunday episode stuff, though, we're going to be talking about the W quite a bit today, Dashing.
We got a few big W news coming up. We also have, you know, the playoffs right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So we could maybe do something with that, you know, as far as a little. I know we've been teasing, you know, streaming every now and again, potentially. But maybe we stream some W playoff games.
We just might, because if anybody's high on the W right now, it is me, Dashing, because I hit a juicy 4-game parlay.
I'm kind of jealous because I completely wrote it off too, because I was like, ain't no way.
So I send Dashing this this juicy parlay of let me just pull it up here real quick.
Yeah.
Give her the old read off.
Oh my god, I'm so pissed.
So this was for Tuesday night.
Yeah, Tuesday.
This was for Tuesday night's game. So the New York Liberty to win by 10 against the Washington Mystics. The Atlanta Dream to win by 7 against the Chicago Sky. The Las Vegas Aces to win by 7 against the Seattle Storm. And the Phoenix Mercury to win by 3 against the LA Sparks, which, might I add, they won by 4.
Hit the negative on
for
all
a
of
plus
them.
25 off of a spicy $25 no sweat, cash out at a nice $340.
And, you know, if that's anything to run on of our betting luck, it's not. Because we lose a lot. I mean,
We hit a lot of little ones.
Not to say
we lose most of the big ones.
Yeah, not to say that we're overstretching ourselves on betting, because we're not. Literally,
safe with your betting.
Yeah, yes. To be completely candid and forward on it, I'm still betting off that first initial 25 I put in.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't put any money in. I'm still betting off that initial 25.
I'm not, but with my most recent success, I mean, I've made up what I've put in.
Well, so. I mean, looking at it this way, you know, I hit a few big ones on, like, you know, anytime touchdowns and stuff like that that were paid out, like, you know, 60, 70
oh, yeah.
bucks.
50,
so,
50, 60 bucks. Yeah, exactly.
And then,
so,
you know, I lose,
I've
like,
a couple of those as well.
I lose, like, $6 here and there, and then I make another, like, 25, 30 bucks on, you know, anytime touchdown players and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, you're nickel and diming your way to victory, and I'm half nickeling and half quartering my way. The quarters usually end up as a loss, but regardless, yeah. So a lot of news coming out of the W this week. Mm-hmm. AJ Wilson breaking the rebound record that was previously set by Reese, I believe, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
we covered that?
No, literally.
Something like that. Obviously, Reese is not going to be able to re-break it this year because mm-hmm. she's out for the season. But AJ Wilson having a career year this year.
Absolutely.
With two records being broken this year and on a Vegas team that is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting fourth right now going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Vegas Aces are going to be a really strong team going into the playoffs. I think that, you know, sitting at the 4 seed, you know, they're going to be doing really well. I think, you know, going up against the Seattle Storm, assuming all that holds, you know, I think that they're probably going to win that, and you'll hear those picks for the first round when we get into the light, you know, early playoff predictions. But I think, you know, AJ Wilson, probably an MVP year for her. You know, all the stat lines and headlines she's been putting up, I think, have really catapulted a lot of W news, really. You know, when we were first kind of throwing this podcast idea around, I didn't really think that we'd be talking about the WNBA as much as we have been. But honestly, I'm really enjoying it. Honestly,
I
I'm really
too.
Enjoying
I
it.
Too. I'm very engaged now with the W. I mean, I'm literally betting my money on it at this point. and winning. So yeah, I mean, I'm invested. I'll be definitely watching some playoff games as they're coming through, starting this Sunday, by the way. Last of the games tonight on the time of recording, Thursday. And playoffs games start Sunday.
We might actually have an answer for you pretty soon here, depending on time of game. We might have an answer for you before we're even done predicting, like, the first few games of the playoffs. But I did want to mention before we get into our light playoff predictions that we might see an expansion team for the W going to Portland, you know?
Yeah, so huge announcement came out yesterday, Wednesday, about this. The WNBA, the city of Portland, both announcing that the next expansion team will be coming to Oregon. And they will debut in the 2026-2027 season.
Yep.
Well, actually, no, they play through the middle of the year, so it's just the 2026 season. They don't overlap into the next year. Yeah, so just the 2026 season. So that will be the what is that, the 15th team? Yeah.
I believe so.
Something like that?
I believe so.
8, 9, 10, 11. No, the 13th team.
13.
That's not right.
13? No.
Something's not right. I think it's they said the 15th. So there must be two other teams coming next year.
Hmm.
Because there's only 12 right now.
There's only 12. Anyways, regardless. Yeah, okay.
Anyways, regardless, sure. They will be debuting in the 2026 season. Obviously, we don't have any idea on the name yet or anything like that. If they're taking any page out of the UTI Hockey Club, which we'll be getting to later, they're going to probably let their fan base vote. Which I think is a great idea, by the way.
That's a fantastic idea.
I love when teams do that. And then they, you know, they just kind of get the matching colors and everything. But Portland, great city to have a W team in. Doesn't have a lot of basketball. I mean, they have, or doesn't have a lot of big sports. They have a men's team, right?
Portland, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah, the Trailblazers. So big basketball town already. So that'll be good for Portland to get. And honestly, I could see Portland maybe future NHL expansion, future NFL expansion.
It's not a bad city.
Location.
It's not a bad city for it. Honestly,
I've really never heard anything bad about Oregon or Portland in general. No. So I can imagine that maybe if this pulls the right traffic. Keep your lookout for some other major sports teams to be
running
in
there.
Yeah, and definitely. But
you know, the WNBA, you know, with the rapid kind of growth going on right now, they just got a $2.2 billion media deal, which is massive for them. You know,
absolutely.
They've had such a boost in attendance, TV viewership, and now the expansion. It feels really, really good and confident for the WNBA moving forward, and I'm really happy for them.
And to be honest with you, these rookies have done coming in and bringing all these new faces, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Cameron Brink, bringing all these new faces in. The side that I'm looking at it on is the veterans that have been in the league are getting the respect they deserve from the general public now.
Yeah.
AJ Wilson, what a year for her to have a career year, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be like, oh my God, she's the best player in the league outside of Caitlin Clark, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and even then, like, she's the best veteran in the league for sure, probably.
Yeah.
So, I'm so happy to see all these veterans getting the respect they deserve, as well as the rookies really, you know, bringing the hype with them and getting a lot of people engaged. So,
I really love to see it. Really love to see it, honestly. Straight up. And, yeah, so with, like, that being said, you know, I feel like, you know, we wanted to give you a little bit of, you know, WNBA playoff prediction. That, you know, we've been teasing it a little bit, talking about it a little bit in the first few minutes here. So why don't we jump in? The projected rounds right now, and we'll hold off on the Atlanta Dream versus New York Liberty until literally that game wraps up here.
We're waiting here, yeah.
And we'll start with the second matchup here, Phoenix Mercury, Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah, so this is actually going to be Sunday's leadoff game. So that'll be cool to see on Sunday. I don't know about you, but I'm high on the Lynx.
I'm pretty high on the Lynx as well.
I think they're amazing. I think they're a great team. They won the in-season tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me for not remembering the name of it. But yeah, I mean, they're a fantastic team. Let me just pull up their roster here because I know they have a couple of like really good stars on that team. I mean,
you could just go down the list here. You know, Bridget Carlton, yeah. And I'm not even gonna Nafisa Collier.
No, I think it's Nafisa. Yeah, Nafisa Collier. Like, I mean, she. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've heard her name multiple times. I know she is just a fantastic forward.
Mm-hmm. Hines Allen, I know, is really good. McBride. Kayla
McBride, obviously, great yep. guard. Yeah, coming out.
You guys are gonna roast us for not naming some of these players, but like we're still so new to the W. You
literally
know?
I am just reading names off of a spreadsheet right now, like,
yeah,
with like good stat lines and stuff. I mean, I've heard of a few people, I've seen some of the plays on TikTok and whatnot,
yeah,
but other than that, we don't know anything about these people, so bear with us as we're kind of calibrating learning the yeah. W a little bit. And but yeah, it's just the Lynx is just such a great team.
They're so good.
That's gonna be my pick for this first series. So
I think that I agree with you. I think that the Lynx are probably the best team in the league right now this season. You'll hear more about it as we get to the on-heater hot take of the week. But I think that they're probably gonna walk away with the Phoenix Mercury's money on this one. So, you know, I think if there's a bet line on that, if there's a stat line on that somewhere in DraftKings, I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, the Phoenix Mercury have great players too. Kalia Copper, Brittany Griner, mm-hmm. Diana Taurasi.
Yep.
All great stars. They're very talented.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think I just don't foresee the Lynx losing in this first round.
No, not at all. So moving on to the next grouping, we have the Indiana Fever with Caitlin Clark going up against the Connecticut Sun.
Yeah, so I actually, to be honest with you, I don't know too much about the Sun.
I know they're damn good. Some of my family members go to Connecticut Sun games all the time, and they have a blast every time they go. They're a great team to watch live, I've heard. And, you know, being the 3 seed, you know, that's nothing to shake a stick at, but I'm not going to lie to you. I really think Caitlin Clark is just going to come in hot, heavy into this postseason, and I think she's going to sneak away with a first round victory here. I don't know how deep she's going to go. We'll revisit this when we get into the second round of the playoff predictions, you know, later down the road, maybe, you know, after this first round is over. But I really, really think that, you know, Caitlin Clark is going to come in, ball out, and get a win for her team.
So I'm going to be a little more spicier than we were for our preheated primetime predictions.
Okay.
I'm actually going to stick with the Connecticut Sun.
Okay.
I know they're on a little bit of a losing streak, and, you know, their last two, they're 5-for-5 in their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, their point per game differential plus 5.8, and Indiana's minus 2.7.
Yeah.
I mean, Indiana obviously does not play as much defense as they get offensive production from Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like Connecticut's a little bit more of a rounded out team, and I think they're going to be able to hold that. And now I do believe, Dashing, that the W is a best of three format for this first round.
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure on what their formatting it is, but I believe it is a best of three.
Yeah, I believe it's a best of three for at least the first round.
The first round, yeah.
I think there's only 3 rounds.
Yeah, there would only be there would only
round,
there would
round and then the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
because they don't, I mean, unless they did the whole league, you know, in the playoffs, but with so many, you know, so
well, few. Right. And with the expansions coming up, yeah. Obviously they're not gonna want to expand it probably too much more in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the Connecticut Sun. I think they're just much more consistent this year. They did lose that number 2 spot to the Lynx this week.
They did. But great, but you know, great team.
They're still a very solid team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That moves us into our our kind of middle of the pack matchup, which is usually the spiciest ones,
mm-hmm.
the Seattle Storm versus the Las Vegas Aces.
And I mean, I feel like for me anyway, this is an easy pick. You know, I'm going Las Vegas Aces. I think AJ Wilson is just that damn good. You know, I think that she's gonna just come in, light it up, call it a day, and move on to the second round.
Yeah, I think absolutely that Vegas is just on way too much of a heater right now. I mean, that's your previous back-to-back W champions, mm-hmm. right there, with almost the possible third one I think they just barely missed out on. So I don't foresee any way. I mean, Seattle is a very good team. Do not get me wrong.
No,
in the slightest. Yeah. I think they're very talented. Let's see here. Jewel Lloyd. I've heard that name a few times. A very good player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of these players I'm not too familiar with, obviously. Like we said, we're just still learning. But Seattle is definitely a talented team. But like we said, AJ Wilson's just on an absolute heater right now. And the Vegas as a whole is just...
Oh, they're so good.
They're cooking.
They're
so
good.
I think you're maybe it will be close. It will be close. It'll be a split and go to a game three for sure.
I think so.
Game three. But I think that Vegas pulls it out here. But let's check in here on our dream game.
There's just about a minute left in the Atlanta Dream New York Liberty game, but the Dream are up by 8 right now, and I'm not going to lie to you. I do not think that even with a minute 53 left, I don't think that the Liberty are going to make a comeback here. They are trending to make a comeback here, but I'm ready to, I think, call that and say that the Atlanta Dream are going to win this game. But with the playoffs just around the corner and the New York Liberty being the New York Liberty, this game isn't going to mean anything. And I think that they are going to take this and then just take their lunch money in the playoffs.
And to be honest, the team trying to catch them right now is the Washington Mystics, which are currently up on the Indiana Fever by 6, with about the same amount of time left in that game as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I foresee the Mystics winning that game, but I don't think it's going to matter if the Dream do. It won't matter if the Dream do win, but if the Dream lose, then I still don't think it matters in the outcome. I'm on that New York Liberty hype train as well. I think they're just an incredible team this year, so strong.
You know, the Mystics are only winning by 3 now, right at the second. The Fever just pushed it within 3. So
probably
that,
a Caitlin Clark 3, if I had to guess.
That game could go immediately either way. So, like, you know, take that as you will. But I think that the Atlanta Dream are going to make it in, but I don't think they're going to do anything against the New York Liberty.
Yeah, I don't think they make it past the first round, regardless of who ends up sealing that
mm-hmm.
spot, which it looks like it's going to be the Atlanta Dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be our light playoff first round predictions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to you with the second round whenever that's getting ready to get fired up. Might even just split it up a little bit as the series is finished.
For sure, for sure.
Just kind of a preview into the next one. So, I think that's going to do us about for the W. So transitioning into the men's side of it.
Absolutely.
You wanna lead us off with a big signing?
I can. Isaac Okoro, Cleveland Cavaliers, 3 years, $38 million deal to stay with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Honestly, not a bad sign. You know, Isaac is a nice. I was gonna say little, but he's not little. Dude's 6'5". You know, he averages 9.4 points, and he's shot a career high of 1% from 3-point range. And, you know, he's played 69 games. Nice. Over 42 starts. So, I mean, you know, a nice little piece for them, even though he's not little. But I think it's a good get. Pretty good amount of money for him.
Yeah, so obviously he's entering his 5th season here. So it's time to kind of either pan out whether he's going to stay consistent or if... Mm-hmm. or what have you for that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about the Cavs since LeBron left, to be honest with you, but
And I mean, I do want to mention too that the agents that reported this, Tellem Schwartz and Monk, they reported this to Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, and if you haven't heard the news yet, he has retired from ESPN. He has taken up the GM role at St. Bonaventure. We are going to miss Woj because he is the most reputable NBA ESPN news writer out there. If there's a story, Woj is going to report the facts, and he is going to be the first with the facts. But now we're gonna have to find somebody new, and that kind of sucks.
yeah, and I wonder who's really gonna step into that role to replace him, because obviously, like you said, I mean, that's like if Frank Saravalli or Elliot Friedman stepped down from the NHL, you know, like that's a huge name that
It's
we
just
would
done.
miss insanely. Or if Adam Schefter stepped down from the NFL, you know,
No,
like
exactly.
some of those big names. So it'll be interesting to see who kind of like steps into that role a little bit and who starts going for the NBA. We'll have to make sure we follow him on Twitter whenever we find out who that's going
Honestly, yeah.
to be.
But off of Okoro, off of Woj a little bit here, some big news. We said we were going to cover it when it came back around, but
We gave our predictions.
gave our predictions, staying and going. The 76ers are staying in Philadelphia. They've reached an agreement and they will not be moving to New Jersey, and they actually agreed on a new arena in Philadelphia.
So I think that's kind of what it was going to take, right? Is that was kind of the whole basis for this, is that they kind of needed a new arena. New Jersey was like, "Hey, here, come on over to sexy New Jersey, and we'll build you an arena." But yeah, Philly decided to end up making an agreement and saying, "Hey, yeah, we'll build you a new arena. We need the 76ers here. We love having our four sport city." So yeah, I mean, exciting for the 76ers. They're going to get a new arena out of it. Maybe they won't be terrible.
And you know what the craziest part about this is, that when New Jersey floated the offer, we were talking about like the 400 mil in tax breaks that they would get from that. We didn't mention that the economic incentives went up to $800 million.
Jeez, that's just insane.
And Philadelphia was able to keep them. So,
Yeah. So yeah, it makes you wonder what Philly offered, and I'm sure we'll probably get those numbers sometime
pretty
this
soon.
upcoming week. It might even be out yet and just might not have seen it, but yeah. I mean, congrats to the 76ers on their new c coming arena, and hopefully it goes well for them.
Honestly, I'm happy for them. I mean, I don't particularly care. You guys know how I feel about Philadelphia. I say it so very often, how much I have so much disdain for the teams in that city. But good for them. Good for them. They get to stay. You know,
Yeah,
and
and it's gonna be
great.
like it's gonna have that it when they get that arena built and the fans get in there for the first time and they see their team in there, it's gonna almost be like that new team vibe, which
Gonna have a
is
new
gonna
team
be what
smell.
a couple of cities are gonna be getting here soon, hopefully.
Ooh.
So
What are you thinking? I mean, I know that, so for all of you who cannot decipher what we're saying, the NBA, much like the WNBA, are expanding potentially. The NBA is discussing teams potentially going back to Seattle, or we could see an NBA team in Las Vegas.
So obviously this idea has been tossed around for probably the last 2 years that the NBA will be expanding soon. The fact that the NBA itself is actually saying that there's going to be expansions possibly coming soon is a very good sign. I mean,
It's a great sign.
that's almost clear cut that it's going to be happening.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Seattle, you have to bring the Supersonics back. You have to give those fans their four sport city
They
back.
need it.
I mean,
They want it.
actually, they went down to two from three, and now that the Supersonics may possibly be coming back, they will be going from three to four because of the Seattle Kraken now being in town. So, love Seattle, great for them. Love that for them. Really hope the Supersonics come back. I don't see them not.
Eventually, right? Eventually.
I think that the NBA probably has seen the success that the Kraken has brought to that city, and they're like, okay, maybe it's time for the Supersonics to be back over there, you know, or have a team back in Seattle at least.
So I agree with you, but I will counter and say the NBA will also look at the success of, like, the Las Vegas Raiders in, you know, in Vegas and say, and the Golden Knights as well, and go, those teams are doing real well.
Well, Las Vegas Aces.
Las Vegas Aces too.
They can share an arena with them,
and it would give it would probably you know, they'd probably revamp that entire area, you know, to supplement an NBA
team.
They're
gonna make it bigger, and yeah,
they'll blow it up.
Vegas is always redoing stuff over there, so that's no surprise to me. I definitely foresee a Vegas team coming.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what that's going to be, if they keep the black, white, gold style color scheme that they have going on right now.
I honestly, I love the color scheme.
I love the black, love the silver, scheme. The white, the gold. I love that. It's very Vegas-y. It's just, and it's very fluent. I love when cities do that, like Pittsburgh,
yeah,
with the yellow and the black for all of their teams. I love that. So it'll be interesting to see what Vegas, the men's team, comes out to be.
Yeah,
I definitely foresee both of these teams happening, Seattle and Vegas happening. Oh, and we didn't even mention the Seattle Storm having such success as well, so they're probably looking at that as well for Seattle again. I definitely foresee these two teams coming within the next 5 years.
I think so, absolutely.
And it's time for the NBA to expand as well, because they are the big four sport that has the least amount of teams.
They are, and I mean, you know, speaking of expansions, they actually just expanded their coaching challenge reviews on out-of-bounds plays, which is actually kind of huge. So when I saw this, I was a little confused about the kind of ins and outs of calling fouls during a challenge, because I mean, you know, the NFL did that a little bit with pass interferences. You know, you could challenge the pass interference for a little while there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, is that really a good idea? But now they can challenge out of bounds plays and fouls being committed during the out of bounds to have that reversed. So the case study for this change came from the playoffs last year. So Dallas Mavericks star Kyrie Irving fouled Minnesota Jaden McDaniels, and the ball went out on Daniels, but Dallas was rewarded the possession, even though during the review, it was clear that Kyrie Irving had committed a foul. So even though they went into review and they saw Kyrie Irving slap Jaden in the arm, they couldn't say, no, 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 Kyrie committed a penalty, therefore it is Minnesota ball. It went out on Jaden, it was Dallas ball. So now that can be challenged, and that would have been a penalty on Kyrie, and Minnesota would have gotten the ball.
So, yeah, so obviously I don't know too much about the rulings and whatnot and all that for the NBA quite yet, but this definitely seems like a good change.
I agree.
I think it's going to be a lot more fair for the teams. You won't get away with as much, and we all know that in a league where you get away with a lot, flopping, that... the players need to get away with less. They need to be, you know, held more accountable. Whereas it's, you know, it's not like basketball is a lot more similar to football when it comes to rulings and stuff like that. Whereas there's, you know, obviously baseball and hockey are much, much more separate. So anything that kind of brings it similar or more in line with the football rulings, I think, is a good change usually. This out of bounds is, I mean, this surprises me that this didn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little shocking. I mean, you know, I knew that it wasn't there because challenging in the NBA is so new. You know, they were resisting instant replays for so long, you know, whereas the NFL was sort of embracing it, you know, and even the NHL was starting to embrace instant replays. But the NBA felt like for so long that they were so against it, you know, so not pro instant replay, which I agree, because instant replay can really feel like you're circumcising the mosquito sometimes. So, yeah. You know, it's a good thing. overall, I think that they're adding this, and you know, I'm happy for it.
Right, and realistically, you know, how often is this actually gonna play out or make a difference or anything like that?
Yeah,
probably not super often. So,
mm-hmm.
Just kind of a little niche thing to kind of help the fairness of the game. I would say, but
absolutely.
Moving on now into hockey.
This is partially the reason why we had to split this up into two segment episodes for the weeks here, for a Friday episode and a Sunday episode, because there was so much stuff to talk about with football that it took up so much time. And then we just spent roughly a half hour on basketball news, and we still haven't even touched hockey at all.
And guys, hockey is probably the longest list out of the four sports for this week. So we're going to try and some of this we'll just zoom through.
Rapid fire a little bit here.
But there's a lot of hockey news coming
so,
out this year.
Why don't you lead us off here, Kiwi, with some of the retirees?
Yeah, so we saw two retirements this week. Tyler Ennis.
Mm-hmm.
Hung him up after 13 seasons, and Kyle Okposo, which we kind of all knew was going to happen, hung him up after 17 officially. Mm-hmm. This week. So obviously, Tyler Ennis, 700 games, 144 goals, 202 assists, 346 points. So about a half point per game winger coming out, you know,
mm-hmm.
retiring, hanging him up finally. A lot of years with the Sabres on honestly not great teams. Season with the Wild, season with the Leafs, season with the Senators, two with the Oilers, and then went back actually to the Senators again for a second season. So, yeah, definitely a great player.
Honestly, yeah.
Not too much to say about it. Very offensive forward.
Mm-hmm.
Not really your two way forward there, but yeah, I mean, good for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, great, you know, great careers, both Okposo and Ennis. You know, I think that, you know, what they put into the league, I don't know if either of them totally get into the Hall of Fame, but you know, I applaud them for what they did, you know, do for the league, the time they spent in the league, and you know, I really respect both players for what they were able to accomplish.
Right. So, and then to go in a little more on Okposo, 17 seasons, 1051 games, 242 goals, 372 assists for 614 mm-hmm. points. And then, you know, kind of sealed that all off, getting traded to the Panthers towards the end of the season to win that cup this year that he finally had been chasing after all that time with the Islanders, the Sabres, and then, you know, rounded it off on a rental with the Panthers to get that cup under his on his shelf.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Yeah,
stuff.
I wouldn't necessarily say Hall of Fame for either of these.
Yeah.
Definitely not first ballot or anything like that, but mm-hmm. Maybe in the future, but Just solid players.
Yeah. No, great.
Players.
Great
definitely.
Job. Great job for both
yeah.
of them.
Yeah. Congrats to both of them on their careers. And like we always say, well, hopefully they land on their feet somewhere with what they like doing.
Yeah.
Afterwards. And
usually
yeah,
golf. I think,
yeah, right. No kidding. No kidding. That's going to take us into the signings.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Oh my god, did we have a lot. So let's fire these all off and then we can break them down again.
Yeah, here we go. So I'm just gonna rapid fire them for you, Kiwi. All right, so
all right, I'm ready.
Van Riemsdyk signed 1 year, $900,000 with Columbus. Krebs signs a 2x1.4 million with the Sabres. Lindell signed an extension for 5x5.25. Harley with the Stars signed an extension for 2x4 million. Crosby signed an extension, 2x8.7 million. Raymond with the Red Wings signed an extension for 8x8.075 million. Sider from the Red Wings signed an extension, 7x8.55 million. And then just wanted to add this in the end here. Jeremy Swayman still without a contract. And
yeah, so we'll go into that a little bit more here once we get through these signings.
But, we'll talk about that at the end, but I did just want to put that on there because we are talking about contracts. You almost want to add that in as like the little bit of tidbit, you know, towards the end where
and it's good news on Swayman this week, for once, finally. So but yeah, breaking these down a little bit. I mean, glad to see that Van Riemsdyk finally got a PTO, finally found a team. A lot of past players, current players were calling for somebody to give him that opportunity.
Yes.
Very solid veteran presence in the locker room. Wasn't looking to
love
make
that guy
a lot. And Columbus, I mean, they need people.
They need them.
So it's going to be a good morale booster for them for this season.
Listen, they took a flyer, no pun intended, on a guy who's been around the league for a while. And, you know, I think it's a really good deal for 900K. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Great veteran for cheap. Why not? Moving into Buffalo, Krebs, 2x1.45. I mean, this is kind of just a depth player, you know, definitely rounding out that Buffalo team a little bit. Is it what Buffalo needs? No, I think they need a lot of help. We'll get into that. My opinion on that a little more later.
Yeah.
Dallas, two big signings, Lindell and Harley. I think the Lindell signing's great.
I think the Lindell signing is fantastic.
That's going to probably be a steal towards the end of those years. I mean, definitely solid. Mm-hmm. Dallas, let me put this out here.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone on this podcast will very soon learn that I hate the Dallas Stars. Okay. Not as much as the Nashville Predators or the Chicago Blackhawks, but I hate the Dallas Stars. But I cannot deny what they are doing and the depth and the quality of players.
They're adding some good stuff. And you know what? They did great last year. And I feel like they're going to do a little bit better this year.
So we'll dive into that a little bit more on our central predictions, which will be the next episode.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, these are great signings. I love both of them, for the Stars. And then the big three signings of the week. I was very excited to see this first one, and then my excitement just kept building more with the other two. But we saw a Crosby extension this year, which
nice
was
little
great.
Extension too.
Two times the classic $8.7 million.
Hometown discount, feels like.
So yeah, so that's actually his previous contract. His previous eight year was 8.7. It was kind of they already knew the money that they wanted to work on. It was kind of the term that they were looking at, what Crosby felt he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they settled on 2 years. I heard that Pittsburgh offered him three. He wasn't too sure about that. He said, let's do two first, and then we'll see where we go from there.
He controls their fate.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But obviously, $8.7 million.
Yep.
You cannot... What a guy.
It's a steal. What a great guy.
I mean, he absolutely could have taken Pittsburgh behind the woodshed for all these years and just as much money as he wanted to make.
Oh, yeah.
It was projected that he missed out on, like, $65 million so far in his career that he could have had.
Oh, my God.
So, the fact that he takes this like this, I mean, what a just a genuine guy. I mean, everybody loves Sid. They call him Sid the Kid for a reason.
Yeah. Yep.
There's not enough good things I can say about. And what a great time for him to have this extension done and out of the way going into this, what is possibly going to be a record breaking year that we touched on last week.
Yeah.
So,
and in the twilight of his career too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, he doesn't feel that way though.
No.
He thinks he still has the same to give. So, and he definitely showed that at the last third of last season. So, I'm excited to see Swayman I'm excited to see Crosby for two more years past this year and three more years. And I mean, who's not, you know?
No kidding.
And then moving into the last two of these, Detroit, they got it done.
They
signed Raymond, they signed Seider.
They got them both done.
They needed him. They're set. They have their lineup. They're ready to go. I'll get into more of what I think about the Red Wings for this year again a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, and right about where we thought too. 8.8 times 8 for Raymond, just a little bit over.
Right around that area.
That's probably like, you know, the little money finagling, get the taxes to where you want them situation, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sider coming in right ahead of him at 8.5, which is pretty much where everybody thought, us included, thought they would land. So, but only great. 7 years on Sider. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, ticky-tack if you're going to say 7 years, 8 years. I mean, does it really matter? I mean, Sider's a great pickup anyway, and, you know, 7 years, they might have just not wanted to line up, you know, so they could have a little leeway, maybe with the Sider re-sign, Raymond re-sign. Oh,
that they don't have this same situation again in the future?
Probably. That's probably what it was. Probably a tactical move.
Do you think if they would have went 8, if they would have went less money? Do you think that's the whole reason it took this long?
Maybe. Maybe. That might also be a reason. They might have wanted to, you know, dip a little more, or, you know, splooge a little more on a shorter contract, which is what they did for 8.55. You know, if they didn't have the extra funds for that last year, possibly, I don't know, you know, what their long-term contract situations look like. But, you know, I think that it's more of a tactical signing than anything else.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't really think about that until you mentioned it. But yeah, I think that's definitely probably what they're going for. Kind of give them the McDavid Dreisaitl situation where they're not both the same year. They're staggered so that they're not completely screwing themselves 1 year whenever they might need to make an emergency signing or something like that, or, you know, make a signing that they think would be good for their team to, you know, if another Patrick freaking Kane comes along that they need to pick up somewhere for whatever reason, you know?
Right. No,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, I think that's I think it's good. I'm happy for all of these signings, honestly, but especially Crosby, Raymond.
Really happy. Really happy for him. You know, go get your bags, guys. You know, get your money.
I am so excited to watch the Red Wings this season.
Honestly, I'm not a Red Wings fan, but I think they're a good team. I think they're a fun team to watch whenever I do see them, though.
They're definitely dialed in. They got everybody locked up. They got Patty Kane for a full season this year.
Oh, yeah.
And, Larkin's going to be healthy, hopefully, for the whole season.
We'll see.
So, I think it's going to be a good season for the Red Wings. But, like I said, we'll get into that later. Mm-hmm. But, let's move into the Swayman here a little bit. So
some of the Swayman stuff, he will not be at practice training camp until the deal is signed, per Sweeney. Bruins say imperative to have it done by December 1st deadline. So I'm not going to lie to you. I think we see a deal within the next few weeks before the first game of the season.
Yeah, so I'm thinking late next week, maybe early the week after. Maybe talk about it over the weekend and sign it on the Monday, you know, type of situation.
Like, what are we waiting for, you know? Like, what are we waiting
for? So, and to kind of clarify a little bit of what, I don't know if we talked about this last week or the week before, but to kind of clarify a little bit, it was reported that by someone that the Bruins had not contacted Swayman in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That actually came out to be false. Swayman said himself that was not true. He said, he was very blunt. He said, "Do you honestly think I would do that to my players?"
Right.
Especially someone like Swayman, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that came out to not be true. Now, in reference to the term or any possible deals, that's probably accurate because he didn't say anything about that. So those offers that they had previously went over, probably pretty accurate, but the 3 weeks of not talking, returning Swayman's calls or whatever
was a lie.
Was not entirely true. Now there might have been just, you know,
some missed phone calls,
a missed phone call or something like that, or a quick like, hey, here's our offer. No, that's not going to work. Okay, and then later. You know, a couple of days of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just a minor amount of contact between those 3 weeks. But yeah, he definitely talked to him within those 3 weeks. So that was not entirely true. But
just freaking sign the guy. Just freaking sign the guy.
My apologies on reporting that. Mm. But just sign him.
Just sign the guy. It's insane.
It's I'm glad to see that they're really focusing on it now.
Yeah.
That they want to get it done.
They have to. They have to.
And, I mean, he's going to need practice camp time.
He is.
Are you really going to let your, you know? And it makes me think, too, if he's not going to be in practice camp until it's done,
mm-hmm.
but they want to have it done, they confirmed they want to have it done by the December 1st deadline, is he going to miss games?
He might miss games. And if he misses games, this is going to affect standings.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yep.
Can we take our predictions back? Oh, wait, we're going in the Atlantic this week anyway.
We're doing that this week.
We'll do a little asterisk in case.
Bruins asterisk, you know. You know, speaking of adding things to your teams, we had a few captaincies named, which I feel like are very earned for the players that got them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I think there was like seven teams or something that needed to come up with a captain this year if they wanted to or whatever, and we got three of them this week. So
we did.
I'll rapid fire through them, and then you can give your thoughts on them this time around. But Chicago, Nick Foligno. Tampa Bay, Herman. And Anaheim, Gudas.
And, I'm over the moon for Nick Foligno. That guy has been a workhorse for so long. And I am so glad for him. You know, he was with the Blackhawks for a long time. You know, he was with the Senators, too, for a long time. So it's really, really good to see that, you know, a vet like this guy, he's been in the league since 2006. You know, he got drafted by the Senators. 2006!
Yeah, he's getting ready to come up on the big 2-0. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously an incredible player. Definitely the guy you want to have in your locker room, right, leading your team. And very much so, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure everybody will in the comments on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
He is the sixth player to captain two separate teams during his career.
Yep. Yes, he is.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, he captained obviously the Senators, and now he is on to Chicago to captain them. So, and what a great, honestly, even if it's a bridge captain, I am glad that it's not Connor Bedard. I don't think Bedard needs that.
No, not right now.
Pressure.
Not right now.
I think you give Bedard an A, you give Foligno the C,
mm-hmm.
and you just let the year play out. And honestly, like we said, I mean, he's been playing since 2006. Realistically, how many more years does he have left?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a ton. At this point, we've been hitting the 17-year retirements. So maybe around there somewhere. But, I'm sorry. That was a tie minute. Yeah, I thought so. When I was reading that, I'm like, I thought this was Victor Hedman.
It was Victor Hedman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Little typo. So, little typo. Herman to Hedman.
But, yeah, so this is probably a bridge captain just for, you know, 2-3 years maybe for Foligno. And then once Bedard is ready, they will give Bedard it, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, moving into Tampa Bay with Victor Hedman.
Yeah.
Losing, you know, passing on Steven Stamkos.
Losing Stam, I think that, you know, you take a big hit there, you know, him leaving the building. But Victor Hedman's been there for so long. You know, 2009, he's been a Lightning his entire life, it feels like. And now he's getting the big C. And I think, honestly, he's earned it. He's a great character guy. He's a great locker room guy. And, you know, I feel like, on the defensive side of the puck, he's been such a stalwart that why not, you know?
Yeah, this just seems like a no-brainer moving on from Stammer and just giving it straight over to Hedman. I mean, great guy in your locker room, obviously. He's probably been there right next to Stammer his mm-hmm. whole career, just,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing everything that he's probably going to end up doing anyway. So I don't think his day-to-day really changes too much, you know?
And, you know, talking about, like, you know, Lightnings that have left Tampa Bay, Radko Gudas, he was drafted to the Tampa Bay Lightning back in 2010. And so another guy, you know, who's been around the league a long time, felt like, you know, they've been around, down with Anaheim, and he's getting the big C in Anaheim. Another defensive guy, you know, 34 years old, who's a great locker room character guy that you just want to have around, you know, teach those young guys what's what and how to act. And great dude. Well worth.
Yeah, so what you're saying is there's any NHL team out there that needs a captain in the near future, you look at Tampa Bay.
Look at Tampa.
They know how to draft them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So,
yeah, I mean, Gudas, same as these other two. Great option. I love all these captains.
Oh, my God. Names. Absolutely. Like,
this is just great. I love all of them. So, very happy for these three teams and for these three guys. Little bit of sadder news moving forward. We're going to get into the injuries here that are coming through.
Yep.
This one's tough for me as a previous Blue, but TJ Oshie placed on the LTIR, possibly out for the entire season with his back that has been plaguing him.
For a long time, too.
Yes, basically since he left the Blues.
Yeah.
If not before then.
Which, honestly, it sucks because, you know, he's been in the league for so long. Came in 2008, if you can believe it, with St. Louis, like you were saying.
Doesn't feel like that.
And, you know, he spent a long time till 2015 in St. Louis, and then he's been with the Capitals since. You know, he won a cup with the Washington, so it's like, you know, good for them. But, man, is that a hit on his career. You know, coming into it, you know, he's been in the league he's 37. He's been in the league since 2008. You know, that's a long time in the league. You know, he's getting up there in age. Might be time to just call it quits and just, you know, sayonara.
Yeah, it's tough to see.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I still remember when we traded him out, or when we sent him off to the Caps, basically. I mean, we just didn't re-sign him, but yeah, it's tough to see. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe he finds something during this season that will help. But with a back injury, as you know, you use that for just about everything. So it's so tough for these players. And that's a heavy hitting one, honestly, for me. And there's heavier ones on here, but that's one of the heavier ones for me this week, is just seeing
not
such a great player go down.
Not as heavy, but still, you know, ooh, tough to see coming right at to the start of the season, being, you know, only 2 weeks away. Dahlin, Sabres, being evaluated for practice injuries.
Yeah, so this is tough for Rasmus. I mean, you get injured in practice. Practice camp just started and you got injured and now you're getting evaluated. So hopefully it's just something minor. He maybe just misses the rest of practice, maybe the first one or two games or something like that, and he's back to normal. Because this is going to be a tough year for Buffalo.
It's going to be a hard year.
I've definitely been teasing like crazy in this hockey segment, but this is going to be a tough year for them and they're going to need him. So hopefully it's just something minor. What's not minor is what's coming out of Vancouver with Thatcher Demko.
Oof. That might have permanent issues going on. And, you know, he'll have to learn to play with, like, this really kind of unique muscular injury. It's such, like, a strange injury, you know, to happen. I feel so bad for him. You know, he's going to recover, but he's not going to be the same Demko that we've been seeing.
Right. So, yeah. So he came in an interview, I think, earlier this week when they all kind of reported for practice camp and whatnot. He came in and he said, yeah, it is a muscle injury. It's kind of unique. He said he's been reaching out to a lot of other, it's a goalie specific injury from what I'm from the way that it was relayed through his interview. And he has been reaching out to past goalies, previous goalies, and just has not, no one has no ever one. Experienced this injury.
Yeah.
So it's very unique. He said that, he was doing pretty good recovery when the playoffs start, you know, when the injury started, and then he kind of got going on it. He said, but he did have setbacks this summer. It's not linear at all. It's very much a day-to-day up and down type injury. And He might be on a clock. So from what he made it seem is that for the most part, he'll be mostly okay, if not 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's...
I think he'll be on a clock.
Year after year, it's going to weigh down on you more often, right? That's so sad to see from such a great goalie.
I think Vancouver is going to keep him reserves. You know, I don't think he's going to be an everyday goalie. I think they're going to probably try to find, you know, a Swayman Ullmark situation and have him as, you know, the sort of background playoff time, put him in.
Yeah. So hopefully, and I mean, hopefully we're wrong and hopefully he heals up to that 100% or, you know, 95% or whatever, something that can get him out there on the ice all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely I have another heavy one right there, but
crazy news.
And what a tough break for Van.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just when they're starting to hit their stride, they're getting back into the playoffs, they're playing well, and their star freaking goalie has this unique injury.
Yeah.
That they're just, you know, kind of trying, they're just waiting to see what happens.
And then their forward, Dakota Joshua, just revealed that he had cancer.
Yeah, so that he had Dakota removed, Joshua, had yeah, he announced he had an operation to remove some testicular cancer this summer. It went well. He's doing great, recovering just fine. He should be great, good to go. He'll miss training camp, but he'll be good to go for the start of the season. So glad to hear that. But yeah, definitely, you know, little side note here. I mean, men, make sure you... Keep an eye on that stuff, because
get a physical.
It can happen to anybody. Look at the, I mean, look at this. This guy is probably in the best shape of his freaking life.
28 years old.
So definitely keep up on that. I mean, glad to hear he's doing well and that he, you know, it was successful and he got it removed and looking good for the future. But what's hopefully also looking good for the future is Robertson from the Stars.
Yep.
He had surgery just recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to miss training camp as well, but is looking to be back at pretty much the start of the regular season.
Yeah, so. And I mean, you know, good for him to get this done right now, to be ready in time for the start of the season. So, you know, good for him. Nice short recovery.
Yeah, I guess he's been out and he's been skating, just not very much weight bearing on that foot that he had the surgery on.
Yeah.
But, you know, that'll come within the next couple of weeks, and then he'll be able to get back to conditioning that leg and the, you know, getting his stride back and whatnot. And he'll be good to go by the start of the season, if not a couple games in, I'm sure.
Yeah, so. No, for sure. And so moving away from injuries, signings. Yeah,
a heavy topic.
Edmonton's assistant GM, Brad Holland, has been announced in a brief news release that he is leaving Edmonton to pursue other opportunities.
Yeah, so what do you think that means?
I think he's going to get a GM spot somewhere.
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know where, but I think he's going to get a GM spot.
Yeah, no, nobody has any openings right now.
Not right now, yeah.
But does he know something that the general public doesn't know?
Probably. If he's leaving, that's a pretty sure sign that somebody's about to get moved somewhere.
Why? And, you know, so, okay, there's two thought lines on this.
Okay.
Yes, he's leaving for a GM spot somewhere. But at the same time, you know, why would you? It's obviously the pay raise, but why would you leave Edmonton when they're being so successful right now?
Mm-hmm.
The other thought that I'm having is he's got some disagreements with Boss Man.
Probably. Possibly. You know, who's to say if he didn't make some of those key decisions that's made them so successful, and Boss Man is, you know, making
trade,
some...
Letting Broberg and Holloway go on waivers.
Yeah, exactly.
Or on the offer sheets.
Exactly.
Maybe he didn't like that.
Possible. It's possible. But
I think he lands a GM spot at some point, though.
I think down the line, for sure. Maybe he goes and he does, like, you know, something in college, or he goes, you know, overseas for a year, maybe. Something just to fill the time. If not, he goes and he gets an assistant job somewhere else. You know,
runs up to Canada for a season or something.
Something along those lines. But I think that, you know, he's a great, great assistant GM. You know, Edmonton, very successful with his time there. So good for him.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see where he lands. A little bit of a side note here, but I saw a list of who they said was on the hot seat this year for GMs and coaches, and the list was
been so crap.
I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. Because no. they had Pittsburgh on there, and it's like, why? Is he really on the hot seat? Like, everybody kind of knew this was coming.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a whole thing, but...
It is what it is, but, you know, not to dwell on that too long. The Rogers Communication is buying out Bell's 37.5% share of the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment.
Yeah, so this will be interesting to see if, because the Leafs play it. No, they play at Rogers Center.
Yeah, I believe so.
So the name was already on the stadium. So they already own stock in the stadium. And now they own what I'm assuming is going to be the majority of the stake on the Leafs. So, and I believe the Leafs have the Bell logo. So obviously we'll be seeing that switch to Rogers on there. Mm-hmm. Which, side note, we didn't put this on there. Did you see they got sponsored by Oreo for this season?
I did see that. That's really cool.
So they're going to have Oreo and milk as two of their sponsors for that. So I think that's pretty cool for the Leafs.
It's pretty awesome.
But yeah, this is going to be interesting. So now Rogers now owns majority stake in the Leafs, the Blue Jays, and I believe the Raptors.
The Raptors and CFL Argonauts and the MLS Toronto soccer team.
So, I mean,
and the
Rogers
Marlies
is definitely very, very heavy. Invested in the sports. Yeah. So, which is a great way to get your name out for your business.
Honestly,
not that nobody knew who they were already anyways, but
great, great move by them. You know, $3.5 billion later, you'll make it back.
I'm interested to see where, if Bell takes something somewhere.
I could see that.
At this point, no.
I could see that. I could see them moving to a different team of some kind.
Who's over in that area? Ottawa.
Ottawa, yeah.
So Ottawa. Who's Ottawa's big sponsor?
I don't know.
Are they Rogers, too?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. But, I mean, I could see them going to Ottawa. Maybe they could be Calgary.
I mean, Ottawa, you know, they're trying to be an up-and-coming team, so it might be a good place to slap your name.
It's true. Speaking of names, Kiwi.
Wow, what a great segue that I had that I totally did not plan at all.
Oh my god.
Not even sarcastically saying that. I literally did not plan that. Great.
Yeah. Lay it on us. What you got?
Utah. The name's been leaked. The GM Ryan Smith, who we all already have grown to love.
Yep.
And if you were a basketball fan, already loved.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmed that they have the name after these rumors came out of what the name was. He didn't say the name, but he's confirmed that the name has been chosen by the fans by an overwhelming majority.
Overwhelming, yeah.
It was very popular. Will be expected to be unveiled next season, start of next season, the 2025-2026 season. It is going to be the Utah Yeti.
I love it.
Which I think everybody wanted. Everybody loves. Loved it.
Yep.
So, you know, the name kind of... I don't know. The name is great. I love the name. I don't know if it's, like, super, you know? Like, it's not like...
Hey, it's good. I like it.
It's not like the Vegas Golden Knights, you know? Right. Like, that's, like, super intense, right?
Seattle.
But the mascot is going to... The mascot's going to be awesome.
The mascot's going to be great. It's gonna be great.
I'm gonna love to see a stupid little Yeti running around in that.
When it gets colder out, you'll see my Seattle Kraken sweatshirt. I'm gonna put it on a few times when we're in the winter. But
I might have to pick.
I'm gonna get a Yeti one.
I might have to pick me up one because I love their colors.
I love them too. Yeah, they're very
light
cool.
Blue and the black and the silver. So good. So good. Yeah, so that's exciting to see that that will be the Utah Yeti next season, and we will be moving away from the hockey club, which, whatever, you know, everybody has their opinion on
that. That's fine.
I understand.
But I think it's time. I think it's time, Kiwi.
I think it's time.
The preview the Atlantic Division.
This is going to be a good one.
I know I've been leading a lot, you know, here today, but you did lead off last week. So true. I feel like I should probably lead us off this week for the picks. So
this actually will work great because it'll go in with my honor heater hot take of the week.
Yep. That's what I was kind of feeling. So I was like, maybe I should lead us off here for this. So I feel like for the Atlantic Division, we should start off with like the lower and then move into the higher seeds. Starting off with the 8th seed, I'm just going to say it. I think we're all thinking it. It's going to be Montreal. I just think that they haven't added enough. I just think that they're still the Canadiens. If you're going to hate anybody, hate the Habs. It's a Boston saying. And, you know, I just don't see it. I just don't think that they're good enough. I don't think that they're there enough. So I don't think that they're going to do anything. Moving on to the 7th slot, I think we're going to see a significant fall off with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh.
I think they are going to have a bad season. Losing Stamkos is going to be rough. I think that, you know, despite having the team that they have, you know, scoring as many goals as they had last season, getting 98 points, just shy of 100 last season, you know, I think we're going to see a significant drawback, even though they still have a pretty decent team. I don't think that they're going to do too good this season. Following them up, I think we're going to see the Ottawa Senators. I think that Ottawa is still up and coming. I think that they are still working on their craft, but I don't think that they are good enough to really catapult into the upper echelon of the Atlantic Division, where a lot of these upper teams are going to be. Now, this is where it's going to get a little spicy, right? So, if Swayman does not sign, the Bruins are going to be 5th. Without Jeremy Swayman, without a goalie, they are not going to do it. Pasta can only carry them so far. If you have no defense, which the Bruins have been good, but not great on defense, and you have nobody in net, you're not going to win games. You're not going to be a 47-win team. You're just not. Because you can't win the close games if you have nobody in net. And I think that's why Boston asterisks if they don't sign Swayman until December 1st or by December. And if he does not play, they will not be a top three team.
I'm aghast.
I could sense it. I could sense it. Honestly.
I'm almost blown away.
I know you're blown away.
Shaking. That's just crazy.
Because coming in hot and heavy next, we got Buffalo Sabres. I think that they added some pieces. I think that they are going to have a bounce back year. You know, being eliminated, not early, but eliminated from the playoffs contention, not even getting to attempt. I think that they're going to be in a rough go, but I think that they are going to fare better than the Bruins this year, assuming the Swayman deal doesn't get done immediately. Now, if Swayman signs, Boston can be a number three team in this division, which will swap everything around. But as of this standing right now, my number three, Detroit. They have added so many pieces. They have re-signed the right players. They have the team. They have the go-ahead. I think we're going to see a Detroit Red Wings sneak into the playoffs as the 3 seed. And I think that they're going to do a little damage. I don't think they're going to make it very far. We'll talk about that at a later time and date. But I think that we're going to see a better team than a 41-32 team that we saw last year. Moving into the top two, I have Toronto. Toronto, number two. Toronto Maple Leafs, they finally made the choice. You know, Austin Matthews gave him the C, took it away from Tavares, which I thought was a solid move. Very well deserved. I think that's going to invigorate this team. they're going to finally make the hurdle past the Bruins. I don't know about the first round of the playoffs because they never do, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see where they go. You know, I think we'll see a really good Toronto team this year. And with that said, with that in motion, Florida Panthers, number one. I think that they are dominant. I think that they are without a doubt the best team in the Atlantic Division. I think that, you know, 52, 24, and 6, they really ran away with this division, 110 points, barely beating out the Bruins last year, but they're not going to keep up this year because I think that Florida is just so high on themselves and well-deserved. Well-deserved. And that is my Atlantic Division.
Wow. I just, I'm still on the Lightning. I'm still just, wow.
Pow, 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 pow.
And the Bruins. That's just, oh boy.
You came for the hot takes. You stay for the hot takes.
Well, it's about to get even hotter because my standings do not look like yours.
Good. Let's hear them. Let's go.
This is going to be very much different from last week for everyone listening. So just strap in. Fasten your seatbelt in your car. Well, it should be already fastened if you're listening in the car. So, but regardless, fasten it.
Mm-hmm.
Fasten it a second time. Number 8. Actually, you know what? Let me lead off with this. I'm going to lead off with my On a Heater hot take of the week.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, straying a little bit from the schedule here.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that this season, and these are both for the Atlantic, a little two-halfer parter again, like last episode.
Bang, bang.
Detroit and Buffalo will both make the playoffs this year. And Ottawa will finish dead last in the Atlantic. There's your number 8, the Ottawa Senators. I think that this team is not ready. I don't think they will be ready. I think the rebuild failed. And I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. Wow. Now, you know who I do think did the rebuild correctly was the Montreal Canadiens, and that's why I have them at number 7 ahead of the Ottawa Senators. I think they are up and coming. I think they have a lot of pieces that they're putting together. And I think come 2 years from now, they're going to be a force in this Atlantic Division.
I could see it.
Again.
I could see it.
And honestly, you know, say what you want about the Habs, but we had a good break from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's about time for them to be good again.
Come back around.
So 8, 7, 6 puts me at the Tampa Bay Lightning. I tend to agree with you on this one. I think that they have regressed a lot. I know they added Jake Guentzel, but he is no Steven Stamkos.
Nope.
And neither is any of the other little pieces that they added. A lot of head scratchers coming into that team that they picked up, and a lot of big departures. Mm-hmm. So I don't foresee them having a good season. I think maybe they straighten themselves out for next year, but for this year, I don't see it. I have them at 6. At 5, I have the Buffalo Sabres, and you might be saying to yourself, Kiwi, if you have the Buffalo Sabres at 5, that means that both of the wildcard teams are coming out of the Atlantic, and you would be correct. I think the Buffalo Sabres beat out the New York Islanders for that last wildcard spot.
Wow.
So I have them at 5. I think that while their rebuild hasn't been completely successful, I think that they're going to have some less injuries this year. They're going to be coming into a little bit more of a seasoned team. I think that Gage... Oh my God, what's his last name? I just blinked. Gage Thompson?
Gage Thompson? For the Sabres?
Yeah.
No,
that's not right. That's not right. I'm blanking. God, everyone forgive me.
Jody Gage?
No. Gage is his first name.
Gage is his first name?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I have no idea then.
Hold on a minute.
Everyone to Puckpedia!
Everyone pause. It's gotta be
Gage Alley. Nope, not Gage. Buffalo Sabres. Hang on, I can make this real easy for myself.
Roster.
Depth chart. Tage, T-A-G-E.
Tage, I'm so sorry.
Not Gage, Tage.
Tage Thompson. I think he's really going to finally come into it this year and be the producer that he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I foresee them sneaking in, possibly a situation like last year at the Capitals sneaking in. I see them sneaking in over the Islanders. Number four, I have the Detroit Red Wings. I don't think that they are still going to be a top performer this year, but I think that it's there. The team is there, finally. They're getting there. They're hitting their stride. They're missing a little bit of goalie power, but that could maybe be remedied by the trade deadline. I could see them landing somebody, maybe even... bold prediction here, maybe even a Thatcher Demko.
Ooh.
If Van decides to go in a different direction,
I see it.
And then we'll see if he heals up for the Red Wings. That's all hypothetical, obviously, but I foresee the Red Wings landing in fourth, finally getting Detroit back in the playoffs. I think Hockey Town will be happy to see that again, as well as the Sabres Mafia. Number three, I have the Boston Bruins. I think that regardless of whether Swayman signs or not, I think that they're going to be solid enough to carry themselves into that third spot. I think that if Swayman doesn't sign until December 1st, that their second half of this season, they will turn it on to kind of catch up some lost ground, and they'll land that third spot. Mm-hmm. I could foresee this Boston team switching places with Detroit. I actually hesitated for a second on the Detroit pick, if you didn't notice that.
I did see that.
That I was thinking about dropping Boston down to four. But I think this is going to be very close between them and Detroit. They both get in to the playoffs. But yeah. It, like I said, it depends on Swayman. I think if Swayman signs early, definitely a third spot. If Swayman signs late, maybe that fourth, that top wild card spot. That's probably going to be my asterisk. My number one pick.
Ooh, going to one first.
I'm gonna skip two.
Okay.
I think he figures it out, and I believe in the Chief. I think Toronto wins this division.
Wow.
I think Mitch Marner figures it out. I think Craig Berube straightens that team out. He has done it in the past.
He's done it. Yeah.
St. Louis Blues, baby.
It's true.
He's the only reason that we have our first and only Stanley Cup. I think he's gonna get that broken Toronto team back on track. I mean, yeah. you can't just be broken and bad like this year after year with the players and the talent that you have.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna figure it out. He's a tougher coach. He's going to straighten them out. He's been very involved with Mitch Marner already.
Mm-hmm.
Marner is not concerned about the contract. He's waiting till the end of the season. He told him, I don't want to deal with it this year. I want to just play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good starting sign already.
Yeah.
Obviously, Austin Matthews, you have him locked in as your captain. You have him ready to go. Willie Nylander, amazing player, obviously. Nice has really been growing up and becoming an outstanding player as well.
Yep.
Obviously, you still have solid Johnny T in the ending of his career. And Vasilevsky, we'll see how it goes with him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a make or break year for him, I feel like.
I think so.
He either has to do well this year, or he's kind of going to be maybe booted to Detroit.
Honestly, not a bad get for Detroit.
No, that'd be great. Honestly not.
That'd be great for them.
So we'll see how that goes. But no, I think the Leafs finally hit it, and they have the one slot this year, which brings me to my Florida Panthers at two. I love the Panthers. They're so amazing to watch last season. They're so good. I mean, I know that you have to have a little bit of beef with them just because they're in your division. But
not really. I lived in Florida. I actually lived like right next to the arena, like 10 minutes away from the arena. I went to Florida games all the time when I lived there.
There you go. I love Florida. I think that it's going to be a close race for the President's Trophy this year, and I think it's going to come out of the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be close. It's going to be close.
I mean, that's like an early little teaser there for whenever we make those predictions in a couple weeks here. But yeah, I think Florida's solid. They have not lost a lot. They added a little bit to kind of compensate for that. And mm-hmm. they're pretty much the same team, which why do you need to change? You won the Stanley Cup.
Exactly. Don't need to.
I know it's hard to win it the second time, so for their sake, I hope they don't win the President's Trophy, because probably. Then obviously they won't repeat.
Yeah, probably not going to win the President's Trophy, but I could definitely see them easily getting into the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, I think that's gonna round me up for the Atlantic. That's gonna round us up for the Atlantic. So
I'm not gonna lie to you. Looking at these predictions, we're not far off from each other. You know, I said Boston potentially 3 if Swayman signs early, so I mean, you know, we're pretty in line there. Swapping 1 and 2, you know, swapping, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, we were pretty close there. And then
our 6, 7, 8 is kind of a little different, but we're just kind of swapping them around a little bit, and I guess we will see. As we said last week, make sure you leave your top 3 picks in the YouTube comments, or your whole 8 if you want.
Or roast the shit out of ours.
Or just roast us left and right. Yeah. Take us out to the behind the woodshed. so that covers our predictions. That covers hockey. That covers my On a Heater hot take of the week, which leads us into your On a Heater hot take of the week.
My On a Heater hot take of the week is a WNBA hot take of the week. I think that the New York Liberty are not the best team in the playoffs. They are not the best team in the WNBA. The Minnesota Lynx are. I think despite the fact that the Liberty have more wins and are the President Trophy winners, so to speak, I don't think they're as good as the Lynx are. I think the Lynx are a better team through and through. I think we saw it tonight. You know, okay, whatever. You know, it was the last game of the season. Maybe the Liberty were resting their starters, probably. But if you look at it through and through, the Dream just beat them. I know we were saying that the Liberty are going to take them to the cleaners in this coming series, but the Dream did just beat them. It just happened. So I think that there is a case there where we might see, you know, a little bit of something out of the Dream coming into these playoffs, albeit, you know, out of a 4-game series this season. This is their only win, where the others weren't even close. So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. But I think that the Minnesota Lynx are the better team. I think that they are going to storm through the playoffs, and they are going to storm over the New York Liberty. I do not see the New York Liberty being a better team at the end of the day against the Minnesota Lynx.
Do you mind if I take your hot take one step further?
Do it.
One degree hotter.
Do it. Heat it up.
I don't think the Minnesota Lynx are the best team in the WNBA, and I don't think the New York Liberty is the best team in the NBA.
Okay.
I think the Las Vegas Aces are the best team in the NBA.
Ooh.
In the WNBA.
Really? I'll say this. I think the Aces are the hottest team in the NBA right now.
And the Lynx are on a 7-game win streak.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, hot in terms of AJ Wilson is hot.
Well, okay, that's fair. I mean, she is.
She is. But she's also hot playing.
Right.
Is what I mean. But, you know, I think that through and through, I could see that. I could see the Aces being the hottest team in the league. I think that, speaking though, just, you know, for my hot take's sake and keeping my hot take's sake, the Minnesota Lynx, I think, are the best team in the league. So, interesting counter to hot take.
It's a good take. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about all from us on this special Sunday episode to kind of wrap up the week.
Yeah.
Hope everybody enjoyed.
And a little bit of a longer one, too. So be sure to check us out, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Prime, wherever you might watch, listen. You know, like we said on Thursday's episode, which we just recorded earlier today, we're branching out YouTube Shorts, TikToks. We're going to be on Twitter more, on a heater pod, basically everywhere. Where it's not, on a heater, it'll be on a heater pod where it needs to be. So be sure to check us out, like, comment, subscribe where applicable.
Yeah, and I'm sure all of those that we just mentioned will be up, but probably by the time you're hearing this, if not right shortly after. So definitely keep an eye out on those, but enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, and we're done rambling. Get out of here as I hit my mic.